Right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We ask that you would fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. That you would give us wisdom, Father, and understanding of your word. Lord, help us see clearly, Father, our purpose in this life and the goals, Lord, that you would have for us, Father, your will, Lord, that it might be done. Again, we just thank you, Lord, for all you do, again, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Again, greet you this morning. This morning, I want to talk about the battle that we're fighting, you know, and God's will for us. A couple of just of the things, the thoughts that I have, and whenever I talk about God's will, or when the Lord speaks about God's will, I think sometimes, you know, whenever we think about that, well, what's God's will for me? And we begin to think that, well, God wants this for me. He wants me to marry this person. He wants this to happen. He wants all different kinds of things that we think about whenever we're thinking about God's will. Most of the time when we're thinking about that, we're filtering God's will through our own eyes. And that's where the problem comes. You know, whenever we're seeking God's will, it's not, we get ourselves in the way. And so we begin to, whenever we think of God's will, instead of just saying, God, here I am, whatever you want for me, we get an idea that God wants this for me. And so we just run with that. And that, whenever we're thinking about God's will, that's not necessarily just having the things that you think God wants for you in your life. The way we find God's will is to surrender our lives to Him, and then what comes our way, we go through it the way He would want us to, instead of manipulating or trying to fix things or trying to make it all work out how we want it. It's giving ourselves to God's will and just going, taking the path, going down the road, the path that He has for us. And I want to kind of keep that as a underlying thing as we go through here, that our life that God has given us right now is His. And, you know, we can plan it out. We can think the best thing for us. We can think the highest thing, the best thing that would work out for us, and think, well, that has to be God's will because that's what looks best. That's what looks good, and it's right to a certain extent. But if our will is mixed in with God's will, we're going to get off on the wrong path somewhere. And so I just want us to keep that in mind as I think about this. And I think one of the ideas or the thoughts I have is, which battle are we fighting? Whose battle are we fighting? And as we kind of look through some of this, it's easy for us to get caught up in a battle and spend all of our time and all of our energy fighting a good fight, but then to find out that it was the wrong war we were fighting in the first place. We were over there fighting for something we thought was good and right and God's will, and the real battle was right there in front of us, and we lose that battle before we even start because we're turned around backwards fighting another battle that's in front of us or behind us. And we're caught up in a war that isn't what God wanted from us for us in the first place. You know, just to build a little thought on that, you know, just to bring us to today in this country, you know, they're building their military, they're building their soldiers, they're building their armies, and countries do this, they've always done that. Rome, you know, there was no nation on earth that could have ever brought Rome down militarily. And the armies, the whole armies of these countries were fighting towards that cause. And the same thing's happening today, that all of these things we're building these armies and these militaries, and the purpose is we're fighting these battles. But what caused Rome to fall was not their military. They fell from corruption from within. They collapsed from the inside out. They decayed. They rotted. Their morals went way down. Their values went out the window. They had none. Although they had the strength of the army they were building, they were destroyed from the inside. And that's our country today. The way things are going, they've got the strongest army, more military power, bombs, nuclear power, all kinds of things that are built up in strength. And people are worried about that. We've got to defend these things. But the moral compass has been thrown completely out the window. God has been thrown completely out the window. Good has been thrown completely out the window. And the decay and the rot that is bringing in all of this homosexuality, all of the promiscuousness, the drugs, all of these things that are going on in the world, the cheating and just getting ahead, putting my will first in all of these things, has just completely broken down the country. And it's collapsing within itself. It's falling from within, just like it's always done in history. While we're fighting this battle, trying to build up the outside, Satan has gotten in the inside, and he's completely destroyed the heart and the soul of what people are trying to defend today. The same thing happens in the church. You know, there's verses that talks about, you know, how the gates of hell shall not prevail against Satan and all whatever he has. There's nothing that he can do to destroy us. There's no attack that comes that he could overpower us if we're in the right place, if we're in the Lord's will. But what happens is we corrupt ourselves from the inside. We get to fighting battles that are not the battles that's going to produce what the Lord wants. We're fighting our own little battles. We're fighting these battles that seem important, that seem so valuable. And we chase after them, and we spend all of our time and all of our energy fighting these battles that one of these days we find out that that's not where the war was. You were fighting the war. You were fighting valiantly. You were fighting for a lot of the right things. But that's not where the battle is. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in doing that. These things that we fight often. I'll just want to read a verse here in Galatians 5. begin in verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not, that you are not consumed by one another. See, here's the danger. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We bite and devour one another. We start fighting among ourselves. But this is how it all falls. We look at the world and the shape it's in. We look back through the history and we can see where there were bad things throughout history. But we had a core. And the country rose together because they had those core values and were able to defeat everything. The world wars and all the bad things. There's always been evil. But as long as there's been a good core to stand up and resist it and fight against it, that we were able to overcome. That's the picture I'm trying to portray here. Today, just for an example, in the country, all the things that have just come upon us in the last 5 or 6 years that have just craziness that's going on. And we see the country, there's no moral value, there's no moral strength to resist it all. It's just, in Isaiah it talks about, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Things that are happening today, there's people, it doesn't matter how bad it is, there'll be somebody stand up and say, this is good and you're evil for opposing it. The complete opposite of what's going on. I mean, you talk about abortion, killing little babies, innocent children. And there's people that will defend it tooth and nail as a good thing and call you evil for not. That's the examples I'm talking about. That's where the battle is. And we're building up our strong armies. If we don't fight the real enemy, what happens is we begin to fight among ourselves. You know, as we see the things that are going on in the world needs a core and a strength of goodness to resist all of that. As we see the things, it just sickens me sometimes to see all of the things going on in the world. And you know what's happening over in the church? Well, you don't believe in speaking in tongues. We're going to divide it. You don't believe in keeping the Sabbath day. We're going to divide up. And it just goes, the list goes on and on and on. Fighting and squabbling among themselves. Biting and devouring one another. You know, sometimes we think that we know the Lord's will. And so, I don't like the way you're doing this. And it's the Lord's will. And I'm going to stand on a valiant, holy mountain and say, I'm defending the faith. The world is going to hell all around us. And we're so intent on imposing our will on a brother. Our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas. And you know, there's no idea more powerful than one that is inspired by God. You know, years ago I thought God, somebody told me this. And I just thought about that. You know, we've heard people say, well, God told me this. And whenever I thought about that, I thought, wait a minute. I'm trying to argue with this person or convince this person that they're wrong when God told them opposite of what I'm going to try to tell them. There's no way you can win an argument like that. Whenever God tells someone something, we get so convinced. We convince ourselves that God told me this. And it would be blasphemous for me to turn from that idea. And anyone that tries to tell me something different is trying to turn me away from God. People have done all kinds of things in the name of God. And it's one of the reasons there's a lot of people that are atheists today that hate religion altogether, is because people have taken and done things in God's name and said this was the will of God for them to do it. They've blown up buildings. They've killed people. They've done all kinds of things. And what it does is just leave a bad taste in the mouth of anyone who's confused in the world. To do God's will is just like this verse we read in Galatians. For you were called to be freedom, called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That's pretty simple. That's a simple plan. It's almost impossible to apply for some reason, but the simplicity's there. You've been called to freedom. And I've said before that, you know, you can tell if you love freedom if you're willing to let everyone else around you have it. If it's only freedom, if it's according to my way, then you don't love freedom at all. You just want to be the dictator, just putting your will into motion. Freedom is whenever you allow everyone to be free. That's who loves it. For we were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This freedom comes with a responsibility on your part and everyone else's, but especially on your part. We can just take that freedom and just do whatever we want to, but that brings us into bondage. We have the freedom to choose God's will, and not just some idea of God's will that I've got to go impose on everyone else, but to live out God's will with Him in control of it. And us just walking along and walking through it. When we see, you know, when we have a difference or we have problems, and we try to force our will on someone else, try to put them in a place, a position where they have to choose whether they're going to fellowship with me or not, that's not what the Lord's will is about. Our will is to be faithful, to love one another, to love others as our own selves. Wherever they're at, whatever state they're in. And that, like I said, it's a very difficult thing to, it's a simple statement, but it seems almost impossible to put into practice. Verse 14, For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement. The whole law, everything is fulfilled right here. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Treat others as you would want them to treat you. However that is. If we're in a disagreement, you know, there's people that try to force their way on you. We don't like that whenever they do that. We don't like that. So don't be doing it to others. Look at the battles that we're fighting. Look at the enemy that we're fighting. You know, our battle is not against flesh and blood. At a time when the world needs the church the most, they're divided and scattered, shooting at each other instead of seeing the real enemy. We do that in our own lives. Every day we get caught up in big battles and we neglect the things that are right in front of us that we're supposed to be doing. We look for these big battles and look heroic wars and all these things, and then we neglect the little thing that's right in front of us. And we think it's a little thing, but God's watching and He's saying, that's right here is where I want you. Take care of this little thing right here. That's always the way it is in the Bible. God only uses people for greater things when they take care of that little thing. And they can be depended on to stay right there where they're supposed to be. We're in a war. We have an enemy. And the sad thing is while the enemy can pretend like he has two legs and arms and a face and be another human being, or maybe control another human being, that's not who our enemy is. Let's make sure that while we're, you know, it seems like when we look at the little things, we can see the big picture. But we start looking at the big things and our sight gets pretty tunnel vision. It's amazing how that works. We try to see the whole picture and wind up looking through a little tunnel at one way or the other. But if we just kind of keep focused on what we're supposed to be doing right now, the vision just opens up about the whole thing. Because we're fighting that battle that we're supposed to be fighting, not the one that doesn't belong to us. God's got that one in control. We're in a war. A war for our souls. You know, one of those areas, you know, the Bible talks about the fearful and the unbelieving. And I think a lot of times we think of the fearful as someone just cowered and run away from the battle, but I think we're wrong on that thought. I think the fearful is someone that's scared to death to do what they're supposed to be doing, thinking that they're doing God's will. the talent, the parable of the talents. One man, he had been given the one talent, and he said, God, you're a great man. You're fearful. And I was afraid, so I went and hid the talent. I hid my responsibility. I hid what I was supposed to be doing because I was afraid. You know, I think there's a lot of people, you know, it's kind of easy for us to pick on the church that just believes, you know, if you just believe and then just live however you want to. But there's an element of the church. It seems like you get more conservative, more fundamental. And the closer to the right, I'm not talking about right or left, but the closer to what is right that people get, the more the battle turns against the enemy and it turns inward. You see that in anything. Because when people begin to see that they're right, they begin to get puffed up and get powerful, and they get to trying to impose that on other people. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. It says, woe to those who draw sins to themselves as with a long rope, and lawlessness as with a strap of a cow's yoke, who say, let him speedily hasten, that we will do, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel come, that we may know it. The Lord's will. Let it come so that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are intelligent in their own eyes and expert in their own sight. You see, right there, when we start getting close to right, we begin to think that we're more intelligent than all those people that aren't right. Why can't they see this? You know, we despise the thought of calling good evil and evil good. But right after that, woe unto the intelligent. You know, a lot of people, when they pick up a Bible and they look all around them and not many people understand it, and they begin to find things that are completely wrong, well, guess what the first inclination is to think about yourself when you look out and see everybody else wrong? You begin to think you're pretty intelligent. And so you get all these intelligent people in the room, and they begin to bicker and fight and squabble among each other because they're intelligent. We miss that you love your neighbor as yourself. That's how you fulfill the whole law. So I think the more conservative, more towards the right people get, the more puffed up they begin to get. And the more intelligent they begin to get. And so they begin to squabble among themselves. You know, like I said, we would think someone calling good evil and evil good. We read that part and we can see that a mile away because we're intelligent. But then the next verse there talks about the intelligent that isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing either. I've often wondered why that the more closer to something right, the harder it is for people to get along. Whenever they ought to be able to unite against the one thing. But usually somebody hears God's will, and so they focus on their point of God's will. And someone else hears God's will, and they focus on their point of God's will. The battle's going on all around them, and they turn their guns to each other and fight and devour and kill one another instead of loving one another. And it takes patience to love one another. Remember the battle. Remember the war that we're fighting. And don't get caught up in some petty little attack on yourself. That's not our battle. That's not what we should be fighting. That, I think, is the heart of why there's so many divisions and so many. Because instead of, we've mixed God's will with our will. Instead of seeing the whole picture of God's will and striving towards that. Take care of that little thing that you're supposed to be doing. Love one another. And you can begin to see the whole picture. That you need to be more patient with other people that are a little different. That still want that goal if they don't get their will all tangled up in God's. You want to have anything you'd like to share? God bless y'all. And we'll meet back here this evening. All right, peace.